Hey, thanks so much for listening to Tights and Fights. Thanks to all of your help. We were featured on the front page of iTunes, which is a huge help as we try to expand the show. If you'd like to help us out more, you can write a 5-star review like this one from The Psycho Blonde. They say we bring together wrestling, podcasts, and laughing, and that she can't believe how Danielle and I haven't been doing this for years. A quick review like that goes a long way in getting the show over with more people. So get out there and hit those fives on iTunes. 5 stars.
Tights and Fights Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and
Podcast. It's Mike and Hal and Danielle. They're gonna talk to you. They got some stories to tell. So all the wrestling fans in every nation, get ready for Tights and Fights. That didn't work out.
I didn't get it. I didn't know it.
It was so bad.
It might have been great. I just don't know the song.
It started so bad.
Oh, it's Bailey.
Yeah, it was bad. Bailey. You know what? Mea culpa. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Mazel Tov cocktail, Hal Lublin.
That's that one's good.
Fantastic.
I don't know if we're topping that one.
Nope.
And that's our show.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye. I'm joined by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the true geek goddess, Danielle Radford.
Hello.
And the sexiest of all the pinatas, Mike Eagle.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Normally it's Hal bringing the sexy, but right, Mike was like, new year, new me. I got to step it up.
Ooh, Hal gave me license.
Okay.
All right. I felt permission.
You have so much agency right now.
Ooh.
It's sick.
Turns me on.
Yeah, get that hot consent. Get all that hot consent,
right.
Boys.
Mm-mm, we agree, yeah. We got a lot to talk about on our first show of 2017.
Do we really?
Yes, championships have been won. Number one contenders have been named, and the road to the Royal Rumble, my favorite pay-per-view, continues. God help us, the WWE has another new show that has debuted on the WWE Network. It's Bring It to the Table.
Come on, man.
Look, come on.
You're so upset by content.
If you don't know, you know what? I won't even describe it. I'll just let the show's host, Peter Rosenberg, do that.
Thank you very much. Now, let's not waste any time, guys. Bring It to the Table is all about bringing the issues of the day in wrestling to the table. Let's talk about what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, let's talk about two guys kayfabing a mark for 30 minutes. If you've ever watched Pardon the Interruption on ESPN, it's very similar to that. But on this show, panelists Paul Heyman and JBL took every opportunity to crap on the opinion of the fans who were represented by Rosenberg, like when they addressed the topic of Raw being cut from 3 hours to 2.
As a fan, I would enjoy it more. I enjoy SmackDown more at 2 hours.
We didn't ask what you'd enjoy. He asked if you thought they should cut it from 3 hours to 2 hours.
No. When it comes to when I hear the finances that you presented,
why are you
no.
qualifying it? Yes or no?
Because as a fan,
yes or no?
Yeah, I want it to be 2 hours.
Okay, you're entitled to your stupid opinion.
Hey, you know who else wants it to be 2 hours? Triple H. He said it on the fucking Steve Austin podcast. Get your fucking story straight. Danielle.
Angry.
So I'm so mad because I like Pardon the Interruption a lot. And the idea of a WWE version with JBL and Paul Heyman, I'm there for it. I want it. I don't want that. Like, don't be in character. Tell me what I want to. If you disagree and you're going to toe the company line, just do it as yourself. You don't have to be the advocate for Brock Lesnar and the JBL we see on TV. Like, they're interesting guys. Fuck. Danielle, WWE clearly wanted to address a lot of internet discussion topics with Bring It to the Table, from the nonsensical, like the value of James Ellsworth, to the serious, like whether Hulk Hogan should be allowed to come back to WWE. Obviously,
no.
He will. They wouldn't
yeah,
be mentioning
better.
Him.
I
Fuck
know.
That,
they're doing
yeah.
it.
I'm stopping.
That'll be it.
Yeah,
that'll
is that going to be it? Are you going to become the midnight subscriber?
I'm not even going to go midnight subscribe. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to fucking quit.
Danielle, do you think this show is a viable concept for them?
I think it's a great idea. Like on paper, like you said, like it sounds great because those guys, when it's just them being themselves, talking about the business, that shit's really, really engaging. But yeah, so for it to also be this thing of like, well, we're gonna talk about the business, but it's gonna be kayfabe all the time. But we're still gonna talk about the stuff the internet's talking about. It's like WWE likes to toe that weird line. It's that Totes Deves line of like half kayfabe, half like not kayfabe. But I do think that it's way better than Raw Talk. Either way, even as it is now, way better than Raw Talk.
Sure. And Talking Smack does a great job of towing that line between kayfabe. And look, the truth is, three of us are fans who know next to nothing about what is happening backstage, actually, what's happening with the creative team. And if they want to use this show to educate us, then that's fine. But you don't have to condescend by doing it through characters. Like, explain it.
Yeah.
Explain it. Or maybe don't. Maybe that's part of maintaining that's what kayfabe is now, is we're going to keep you shut off from it. You're never going to know exactly what's going on. But
yeah, and then we're going to yell at you for thinking stuff.
I think this show's a fucking terrible idea. I think it's the weirdest idea in the fucking world.
Why is that?
Because, like, okay, they're addressing internet smart fan opinions on the network, and like, why, like, it's so weird to be like paying them to tell me how they feel about my opinion. It's really fucking weird.
Do you think it's too harsh?
No, I just like, I don't think it's too harsh. I just think it's really fucking bizarre. I think it's really bizarre. I think it's just an odd thing, and they're trying to do a PTI show, and they're spending $5 on a table and some microphones. They need to come on, man. They look like they do it in a break room somewhere. Like they needs to look like something. First of all, and secondly, like, you know, we're watching because we're compelled by the angles and action and the superstars and all of that. And I dig how many peeks they give us behind the curtain, especially when they do the one-on-one interviews with, like, Stone Cold and Jericho and Folk. Like, I like those because it's two people having a conversation. They just happen to be in the business. This idea of, like, using Rosenberg as an avatar for, like, fan opinions and having two characters slather shit all over them. Like, is this supposed to be entertaining to me?
You don't like paying them $10 to tell you you're wrong?
I don't.
They even set it up the way they stage it. It looks like Peter Rosenberg is telling them that he crashed the family car.
Mom, Dad.
Yeah, I have something to tell you. Do you think James Ellsworth has value? But anyway, we'll see how the production goes. We'll see if it's regular. I know I'm going to keep watching it because I really want it to be what I want it to be, which is probably stupid on my part. Let's take a look at Monday Night Raw. Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman had what is probably the final match of their feud, a last man standing match. And after some nice back and forth, Strowman wrecked Zayn with Sami heading out on a stretcher, which was also wrecked by Braun Strowman. Mike, if this is the end of the feud, did both Sami and Braun benefit from it?
I mean, you know, Braun benefited. Sami, I mean, he looked strong, but he also lost. He lost, like definitively lost. And he got beat up after he lost, and it doesn't look like they're putting him in a position to avenge this deed since they've moved Braun Strowman into like the main event picture. So I don't know what the plan is post this for Sami Zayn, and I never knew to begin with. That's why this feud was always a little touch and go for me. I don't know what the plan is. What do you do with Sami, who clearly has to lose this feud?
Well, I mean, is it do you think, and either of you, do you think this is it's not the exact same match, I get that. Similar to Foley losing at King of the Ring in the Hell in the Cell, where there's no way he's going to come out of that as the winner. He takes a hell of a beating. He keeps getting up until he's eventually put away. So while he's not the winner, quote unquote, of that feud, when he moves on, all of a sudden, he's way more dangerous for the next person, honestly, down the line.
The part that's not mentioned enough about that match is that The moment of the match, of course, other than him being hurled off the cage through the table.
Being a dead person, yes.
Yeah. The the other moment of the match is him rising from the dead off of the stretcher to come back into the match. And I think from that point forward is when everybody's kind of eyes open to, oh my God, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, you know? And he will do anything to win, and he's going, or at least try, and you can't keep him down. And I think that that is what they were doing with the story for Sammy, is it was going to be that, like, you know, you can beat the motherfuck out of him, and he did get the motherfuck beaten out of him.
Yeah.
But you can do that, and he will continue to try, and he will continue to fight because he's got the fight, because he's the dude that fights, because he's a fighter. Like, that's his thing. I don't know if it was as successful. Whatever feud he has next, he has to be like a changed, like PTSD Sammy.
Like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, like he's got to be like, oh, I just got the ever-loving crap kicked out of me by a bulldozer with a great Tinder profile. So,
does he really?
Yeah, it's online. You can find it.
He's just hanging out in some water.
Yeah, he's like, hey,
come on in.
I'm a big country boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you something else. Let's talk about Mr. Tinder himself, who is a, like, I saw him backstage, and he is one of the biggest human beings, just so big. He does look like a monster. He was booked like a monster throughout this entire feud, which was great. I think he did a really great job. But then, at the end of Raw, he takes a double spear from Goldberg and Roman Reigns, which puts him down. Does that devalue? Did they undo some of what they did in that feud, Danielle?
Yes and no, because on the one hand, it is like, it did take two spears, which are, that's like their, like, end it all, you know, that's their AA, like, that's their thing that, right. Like, I'm ending the match now. All Goldberg does is spear. All he does is spear, 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 spear. So, like, when you're getting, like, that, like, the Goldberg spear, and that's, you have to pair it with the big dog spear or whatever the fuck, like, and it takes both of them to take him down.
Yeah.
It is saying that, like, look, you are taking this, you know, Goldberg's power move, which has taken out everyone in basically every company, just that one move, plus Roman is also there, and it takes both of them. It takes both of them doing their mega power, this destroys gods and men move, to take him out.
You know what's interesting to me is, to me, the last segment of Raw and the last segment of SmackDown, to me, points out, like, the ultimate difference between the two shows. Raw, you got, you know, what's the big dog, Roman and Goldberg stare down her. And then they both work together to take out Braun Strowman.
Right.
And
working together, helping each other.
On SmackDown, you got this super heated segment with AJ and Cena. And it wasn't the last segment, but it was, you know, the main event segment, like the title segment.
Yeah.
You got Cena and AJ just killing each other with promos. Ooh. And then Baron Corbin comes out and... The corny thing to do, I think, would be to have AJ and Corbin beat up Cena. But instead, AJ kicks him in the head and leaves, and Corbin's yelling at both of them. To me, like, that looks more like competition.
Yes. You're building a title division rather than a title match.
And you're not doing that weird moment booking that they do on Raw. They just do these moments. They're like, okay, but why did that happen? Well, why did you have to take Braun off his feet? Why?
Wouldn't it be cool?
Right, exactly.
Wouldn't that be?
That's like,
it's just like the dudes with the action figures. It's like, no, and then I take him on one side, and then you do him on the other side, and then you just, like, lift him up, and isn't that cool?
That's like every Raw booking meeting right there.
Just a bunch of dudes with action figures.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
They're letting their kids do it for them. I just want to say something here.
Give it to us, Hal.
Please take the U.S. title off of Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it's
if the only reason he has it is so the light bounces off something when he walks to the ring.
Honestly, it's just
like
his hair's
his
not
chest protector.
Yeah, his hair's doing a fine job.
And I like Roman.
The light.
I like Roman Reigns. I don't mind him at all. I think he actually puts on good matches. I think the stuff, him being on the mic too much, is not his fault.
Nope.
That's what they're asking him to do.
And he's not saying stupid shit no more. No. At least,
yeah,
he knows his character.
Stop letting The Rock write your promos.
Yeah, plays his character really well. But he has the title, and he's going for another title. Does that mean that what he has no value?
Right.
Whereas, like, the only reason he has it is because he's a bully.
Right.
He wanted to take it away from Rusev because Rusev had it. Like, fuck you, Rusev. I'm going to take your title away. And then that's the end of it. So he's a heel. They're booking him as a heel.
Yeah.
And he by virtue of that booking, that title seems unimportant. If that title went away, would either of you care?
I wouldn't even notice.
Right.
If he came out without it, I'd be like, oh. Well, actually, because I wouldn't notice.
No, it would just absorb into his skin. Is that how it would work?
Do you think, Danielle, that they are doing a good job of setting up the women's title match? Just so we touch on it.
No. I always want to talk about the women's title picture.
Yeah, of course.
Because I'm a misandrist. And
captured on tape.
That's right.
What a wonderful predicament you've gotten yourself in.
Our fans are great. I don't worry about them. Anybody who doesn't want to hear my SJW shit isn't listening to this podcast. Right. I am very ready for Bayley to be part of the title picture. I am always going to, and I know I'm dumb, I'm always going to be like, let's get some tag titles for these ladies.
Hmm. Sure.
Let's give everyone who isn't the two women they've decided to highlight at that point something to do and something to fight for. What are Sasha and Nia fighting over?
Hmm.
You are a little girl.
Yeah.
I am a big girl. I'm around little girls all the time. I don't hit them in the face.
I'm down with the women's tag division. To me, the problem as a fan and a misinterest, I hate myself, is that they're not building the division. Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks becomes relevant if Nia Jax is taking her down in order to move up the rankings and get a title shot. Like, you had your chance. Now I'm going to flatten you. And I'm going to step over you to get to the title. And there isn't that. Like, they did it on after the brand split, there was a match on SmackDown between two, like, lower to mid-card guys. And Mauro Ranallo just threw in, like, this match could have implications for a future title shot for either of these guys. And that.
Just that one thing.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I care. Thing. They did that a lot during the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Where it was like, this could have European title ramifications.
It should always be about, I mean, ultimately, there are other things and there are other stories. But at the end of the day, the idea is you are in WWE because you want to have a title. Imagine a world where Alicia Fox is fighting over a belt and not a boy.
How about it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Imagine a world.
Well, if you want to imagine a world where the women are fighting for the title, let's talk about SmackDown, where that is happening.
How dare you? Never use my words against me.
Listen, let's talk about Dolph Ziggler first then. He's had a nervous breakdown.
Yay!
And it's the one we've all been waiting for. After losing to Baron Corbin, Ziggler super kicked Kalisto, who just tried to keep him from getting hit with a chair. Am I right? Just trying to save a guy. And then he headbutted Apollo Crews and has yelled, "I don't need anyone," more times than I can count.
Did you hear what he said? The first thing he said to Apollo Crews, which to me, the first thing he said, I really flipped out about. It popped me hard. He said, "Mind your own business, Mark."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Dope.
Is this the worst thing you could call a fellow fucking wrestler?
No, that's Mark? So great. Mind your business, Mark.
Wow. Well, we kept talking about how he needs a little bit of a refresher on his character. And Mike, how does WWE make sure that this helps him and keeps him as an asset to the product?
I do think it's the way to go. I think I saw him kind of lightly throw furniture around, which bothered me a little bit. I'm like, like, if you're an angry person, just be angry. Like, do you have that in you? Because you have to kind of access it a little bit.
He remembered it wasn't his at the last minute. He was like, oh, this ain't mine.
You're going to take this out of my chair. but you know what? What else I was thinking about is I watched Talking Smack today, and The Miz flipped out again. And it was so beautiful.
Oh, it's
just,
it
is just
I haven't
beautiful
seen it yet.
When he flips out. And the reason it's beautiful is because he accesses a real rage inside of him. And it made me think, I almost wish they would have Miz do this and carry his flip out berserker rage into the ring, because you don't ever see it there. You like kind of only see it on Talking Smack. Because I feel like with him, it's more visceral. Like, he's pounding shit. He's hollering things that he means.
Yeah.
And when Ziggler kicked Kalisto and he was yelling at him on the mat, I was really believing it. But then backstage, not so much. So I think it's going to be a lot on him to make sure that he's keeping the intensity up.
Sure.
For this crazy turn, you know, and then he can carry it forward like that.
Because I feel like it's a different heel turn than his last heel turn. Right. Like, the way that he's played heel before. Mm-hmm. This is more of a, like, unhinged.
Yes.
Like, I've you know, it's all I can stands and I can't stands no more.
Do you think this puts him in the right mode for the coming year?
Yes.
Yeah?
I think so. I think I've been ready to see a heel Dolph, so I'm ready to see where he takes this and where this goes. He has needed, if they're not going to push him, then they have to turn him. That's how it's got to work, because at this point, he's done. He's hit all the face things he could hit, including people, and now it's time for him to... Their actions and circumstance have to have consequences. And there should be a consequence to, I'm always just about to make it. I'm always right on the cusp. I'm always right on the cusp. I'm always right on the cusp, but I'm never getting it, and I'm never getting it, and I'm never getting it. There should be a consequence to that. That should be enough to make someone be like, all right, fuck it. I'm kicking this little dude in the face. It's great. I'm in 100%.
I'm down. You know, I'm down. But it's a lot on him. As a performer, to access those emotions and make it real for us.
Because it's not that, like, ego, like, I'm hot, I'm Shawn Michaels light thing. It's the, like, oh, I done lost it, and I will hit everyone with chairs.
Right.
Gently.
As long as they're not the chairs that are the property of the Gund Arena in Cleveland, Ohio. Let's take a look at some title news from the Blue Brand. John Cena revealed his intentions last week to wrestle for the WWE title at the Royal Rumble. Are you guys looking forward to another installment of Styles versus Cena?
I am now.
Yeah.
After that promo fight.
Yes.
I was very into the promo fight.
Oh, boy. You ain't going to be as big as The Rock? Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hit him in a soft spot.
I do think when
now bring out Nikki and make her cry.
When you have two guys that you know put on a great match, then the only thing that's missing is, why are they fighting?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that makes you care. You're not watching to see, well, let's see if they can put it together. You know that they can. You know that they're two of the best guys in the world, maybe the two best guys in the world right now. Certainly one of them is, and the other one hasn't put on a bad match in years now.
Yeah, he has been consistently, like, you can say whatever you want to say about Big Match John. He has been more giving in the ring.
Yes.
He has been, like, it's like you take all that time of him being dominant, and then he switches it up to be more of a giving performer. And I don't, you know, it's not, we always blame John. Real life John seems like a very nice, sad, weird guy. but it's that, like, he's never been better. Like, John Cena's giving everything right now, and he's putting other people over, and he's been fantastic for a while whenever he comes back. That promo off was great. AJ's never sounded better and more convincing.
I loved his heel work in that promo.
Yeah.
It wasn't goofy. It wasn't cocky, arrogant. It was, I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
There's nothing like a dude with that. Like, the most dangerous, best wrestler in the world is also now cutting the best promos. Yeah. Come on.
Yep.
I like the edgy John Cena, too, since he's been back.
Yes.
I'm really appreciating the edge.
I like it's that little bit of defensiveness that gives him that, like,
And
know?
There's desperation,
like,
too. He's lost.
Yeah.
He's been losing.
And I like that it's like, I'm John Cena recognized and not like, you know, I'm John Cena, I fight and I stand up and I, you know
and
what I mean?
Joke, fart joke.
Exactly.
And I do this and you know, support the troops and kiss a baby.
Well, let's move on to the mid-card, where Dean Ambrose has won the Intercontinental title. We've all really loved the work that The Miz has done as champion so far. Do you think it was the right move to take the belt off of him? Because I like The Miz having a really long reign, but on the other hand, I don't like Dean Ambrose chasing.
No, it's not as much fun as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I got to say, I feel like just in general in the WWE, there's just a ton of hot shotting going on with belts. And I would like to see title changes happen at big shows. I feel like let's put some shit on the Rumble. Let's wait till the pay-per-view and not just do, you know, big title changes on random Raws and SmackDowns. I would like to see just a little bit less of that. And I feel like that's affecting how I'm seeing this title change.
Yeah, right? it's. I like having a good unexpected title change, and I feel like I've talked about before how much I like that. And then it's like they did the thing that I like, but they did it too much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I absolutely think that you should be able to, you know, like Raw and SmackDown and all the shows should always feel like I don't know what's going to happen. The title might change tonight. We don't make those matches also mean something. If you're going to put the title up on those shows, occasionally that title should change hands. But it's just been happening so much lately, especially with obviously with the women's title. Yeah, at a certain point, like, I don't need to see two people just like, oh, is it my week or is it your week? I don't even remember. Do you think there were days when, like, Sasha and Charlotte would be walking into the ring and, like, both of them's like, I thought you had the belt.
I think one of the other things we're seeing as a result of this staggered pay-per-view thing is it feels like Roadblock has led directly into Royal Rumble, whereas SmackDown hasn't had a pay-per-view in almost 2 months.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But instead of doing a 2 month build on these programs, they're doing like a 1 to 3 week build. So now the main event is happening on television. I get that they're trying to drum up ratings, but I think we need to go back to longer programs and let those things. You can book big matches, but it feels like they're giving it away for free. Maybe they have to now. I don't know. Final note from SmackDown. That was so defeated.
I know.
Last week, American Alpha won the SmackDown tag team titles from the Wyatt family. Their feud continued this week and will likely go on up to the Rumble. So real quick, before we move to the end of the segment, was this too soon for American Alpha to get this win, or was it just the right time? Mike?
Once again, I think it's another situation where I would have liked to see that happen on a big show. I feel like that's what feeds into it. Like, last week it was the tag titles. This week it's the IC title. Like, just put some space in between these things and allow some build-up to happen. And I feel better about them. Because as quickly as I was excited for the Wyatt family to have belts, now I'm like, why did they put them on them and they're going to take them off them in 3 weeks? That's weird. Right. Like, it just, all that does... It takes me out of watching a wrestling program and makes me think about writing.
And we should never. I mean, stop making me. I love this show, but I swear to God, stop making me think about wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, stop making me. It hurts. My head hurts.
Danielle, what do you think?
And you know what? And it's interesting because now that I'm remembering that it's been that long, because I can't keep up with pay-per-views anymore, guys. Now that I remember that it's been that long since SmackDown's had a pay-per-view, it's like, oh, well, maybe some of these title changes going into the Rumble make way more sense because they didn't have that kind of, like, pay-per-view to reshuffle... Yeah. Like the deck before going into what is now the WrestleMania season.
Right.
So I guess it does make more sense. The Wyatts needed the tag titles more than American Alpha does. American Alpha, you cheer for them, you love them. It's really fun to watch them chase titles. It's so much fun to watch those boys try. Whereas the Wyatts, if you are these devastating, you know, swamp dudes, then, like, you need devastating swamp dude proof. And that comes in the form of a belt.
Well, there you go. If we missed any major news headlines, keep the conversation going at facebook.com/group/tightsfights. When we return, we're going to look back on some of the major news items of last year. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
The great questions of your life.
The great questions of your life.
Should you put ketchup on a hot dog?
Put ketchup on a hot dog.
Toilet paper over or under?
Toilet paper.
Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Or Star Trek?
Or Star Trek.
Fear not, my friends.
Fear not,
Mark
my
and
friends.
Hal always reach the definitive answer. Simply listen to We Got This with Mark and Hal every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Pacific on Maximum Fun.
Fun.
We got this. Your better self is right around the corner. Namaste.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined in the booth by
Danielle Redford
and
Michael Eagle.
Oh,
it's time for our main event, where we give special attention to one area of the wrestling world. This week, in honor of it being a new year, we're going to look back on some of the notable events of 2016 and talk a bit about what defined the year in wrestling. Starting off, for both of you, what are some of the biggest events in wrestling that you remember from this year that you think defined 2016? For me, I have trouble remembering what happened when.
Yeah, I don't know.
What that happened when?
That was a thing.
I will say, I'd say AJ Styles.
Yeah, his premiere for
sure. I'm just going to throw AJ Styles
his year,
out there.
Man. I mean, to think he debuted in the WWE like this time last year in the position he's in now, who the fuck would have thunk that?
Everything is that's one of those moments where I'm like, wrestling is wonderful when it's wonderful.
Right. Yeah.
Just wrap me up in a cloak of AJ Styles. No, yep. Ooh, gross. Wow. Okay, that's not what I meant. You know what I mean? I feel bad because I'm always like, AJ Styles, just the way that he moves his body is the most beautiful thing in the world, but I always have to preface it with, I'm not trying to bang AJ Styles. Like, it's not a sexual thing. It's like looking at a Baryshnikov. It's like,
he's a beautiful gazelle of a man. It's
crazy. Like, even his entrance, if you look at it, there's like five things he's doing with his body. It looks like dude just takes the hoodie off. But no, because like he does a thing and then he's on his feet and then he pops his stuff. And it's like, oh, it's so. Like, it's because
you guys got to see Danielle Popper stuff.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I went to theater school and I took movement classes. And so when I see him do that stuff, I'm just like, look at that fucking isolation. You isolate. You isolate. It's like a beautiful southern chin-strapped gazelle.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I have some other moments, but I'll let's go around any other just some specific moments that stick out to
anything. My brain is poop right now. I don't remember anything. You'd have to say things.
I have prompts.
Okay.
Let's go back.
That's very helpful, Hal.
Let's go back to Talking Smack.
Oh, I love Talking
this
Smack.
This past summer.
And that's that right. happened this year.
It did.
Yes.
That it was a new thing.
Every week. And I like it.
GM Daniel Bryan and The Miz got into a bit of a kerfuffle.
Is the best.
Over who is soft and who is retired and who was on the never-ending Intercontinental Title World Tour.
Understand that this is day 141 of the never-ending Intercontinental Championship World Tour, and I swear to you, I promise you, it will be the most relevant title on SmackDown Live. I could care less about those little kids on for the tag team titles and the Women's Championship and the WWE Championship. This is my show! My show!
I mean, that was a highlight moment, not only for his career, but it put Talking Smack on the map.
It really did. It made it like...
And SmackDown by extension.
Yep, really did. It made it like a huge thing. I don't know. I mean, obviously, the women's title and having it being taken so seriously and being like a title.
And reintroduced.
Yeah, and having it be reintroduced by a very tired Lita.
The winner of the Triple Threat will be the recipient of the first ever WWE Women's Championship.
That is huge.
But like that's obviously a huge deal, is the women's title and what happened with the women's division. And the fact that like they really ramped up, whereas before it was like, oh, well, the NXT ladies, you know, they'll headline a show, but it'll be like co-headliners, like what you do when one person on like one act isn't very popular. And so you're like, oh, you'll be a co-headliner. I was like, nah, you the opener. to now they're like, you know, they're main eventing Raw. They're main eventing, actually legit main eventing pay-per-views and live events, and and that title feels like something. It goes to show how important that title feels, that you can play that weird hot potato with it for a couple of months and it still feels hella important.
Yes.
So that's my thing, is the women thing, because I'm a misandrist. I guess like I just don't.
You are on brand.
Yeah, I'm on brand. It's the women's title and AJ's great body.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think defined 2016 for you?
I like some of those beautiful Raw moments that never get followed up on, like Owens winning the title.
Yeah.
You know, that was a real big deal.
That was a great moment.
I was real happy for him. I watched that over and over again.
WWE Universal Champion, Kevin Owens!
What did we just witness? I can't believe it just happened! What did we just witness?
Triple H has handed the Universal Championship to Kevin Owens.
Those fit a theme, though. Those fit an established independent wrestler being elevated to the top of the company. And that's happened on both brands.
Yep.
The women, you could say, Charlotte certainly is homegrown.
Yeah, but Sasha she wrestled in the indies for quite a bit.
Yeah, she really
did. Yeah, so did Becky. Yeah, there's pictures of her, and she's smaller because she hadn't put on the muscle yet. And it's like, why is someone letting this 12-year-old
but
AJ, in that ring? It can't be okay.
AJ Styles came in as AJ Styles, and within his first 7 months with the company, he had the world title.
Yep.
Jericho came in as Jericho, and he was a WCW guy. Mm-hmm. These aren't people who wrestled for the competition. They cut their teeth in Japan and TNA, Ring of Honor, and places that are not fringe, but they're independent promotions. So this maybe was the year of the indie wrestler.
I don't think there's no precedent for the wave of indie talent on top that they have right now. And that's even, I mean, if you look at the guys on top through NXT and all of that, just like, indie wrestling has completely permeated the WWE. And I mean, it's awesome. I mean, I think there's drawbacks too.
Sure.
You know, like I could stand to never see another suicide dive ever again.
Yeah.
Kind of done with the suicide dive.
Done with them Tope con suicide.
Yeah, man.
Tope con suicida.
Suicida. Stop dying.
Right.
Please don't kill any more people that I love.
Let's not do anything called suicide anymore.
Yeah. How about that?
Take it out. Completely.
Yeah. You still have to do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's that. And also this idea, whereas, like, obviously there have been, for the last couple of years, a lot of indie people coming in. But it's almost this idea of, like, not even that, you know, the WWE is the biggest thing in the world, because obviously it is, but almost this idea of indie dudes being able to do it so well on the indie scene that they're almost using the WWE as a retirement plan.
Yo.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. All right, before we hop out of the segment, very quickly, biggest surprise of 2016, biggest surprise moment for each of you.
You know, it really, the Shane thing was huge.
Shane was a big deal.
Shane was a big deal.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was heading somewhere really, really fun. And it is fun. I'm not going to say that, like, it's not fun. Like, the brand split has been really, really fun. His individual storyline was kind of weird and wonky there for a second. But ultimately, I like where we've ended up.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think Shane coming back is, like, the biggest one for me, because a lot of the other things that were sort of surprises were things that was like, I could kind of see that coming. I thought that Shane was off in China being his own man,
right,
and just being happy to not be involved in the company. So, like, him coming back and then reading that, gosh, that was that Vice Iron article,
yeah,
that great Vice article. It's like, nah, like, they for real got real beef.
Wow.
I was like, cool.
There you go. Mike, biggest surprise of 2016?
We touched on it a second ago, but I think the biggest surprise for me that wasn't spoiled by watching the West Coast Raw and seeing trending topics was Triple H coming back to help Owens win the title, because I just did not see that shit coming. And it's the kind of thing where you're watching a match and you're into it, and then you see the crowd go nuts. You're like, what the fuck is going on? And then Triple H is fucking there beating people up. And it was great, especially when he hit Seth Rollins, because the last you saw him, they were all still working together. And it was like, so what the fuck? Who's he going to help put over? So that was a moment that I found myself, like, really being surprised. And I watched it a ton of times over and over again.
All right. Well, I want to say it's AJ Styles premiering at the Royal Rumble, but I have to go with Brock Lesnar putting over Goldberg in less than 90 seconds.
Yeah, man, that was a big one.
I was so surprised.
Crazy.
I didn't realize the match had started or ended.
Yep.
A lot of
that's
you.
Spear down.
That's right. Well, a lot of you have been coming on Facebook and telling us about your favorite wrestling moments from the last year, whether that was your favorite superstars, matches, or more. And we've been throwing ours out there as well, so be sure to join us at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights. When we return, we've got the first 3 count of the year. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
If you love podcasts, comedy, and creativity, and you're looking for some new friends to share them with, why not check out Max FunCon 2017? Max FunCon is a chance to get away from it all, spend a weekend laughing, and return inspired to create amazing things. Join us for Max FunCon in Lake Arrowhead in June, or Max FunCon East in the Poconos in September, and prepare yourself for one of the best weekends of your life. Tickets are on sale now at maxfuncon.com.
Tyson Bites Podcast. Tyson Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined as always by
Danielle Redford
and
Michael Eagle.
Every week, we like to end the show on an upbeat by putting over three things we enjoyed from the wrestling world. This is the three count. Danielle, you're up first. What do you want to put over?
Okay, I'm putting over, so this was put on the internet by Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. It's a post-match interview with The Mac when he first won the United Wrestling Network Television Championship in 2012. It's just, I don't know, man, it's just a dude being real grateful for being where he's at, from where he came from, and he cries, and I love Willie Mac, so here you go.
I may hold this belt, but this belt belongs to each and every one of you who stand out that line and wait for these shows. This is yours just as much as mine.
Thank you. No, you can't get my checks.
Yeah. the checks stay here.
And please buy my t-shirt.
Thank you, Willie.
William.
Aww. Yeah, so William, and now that Mac. Dude's on Lucha Underground doing Stone Cold Stunners.
So many stunners.
So many stunners and just being awesome and great. And it's just, it's nice when you watch people who work hard get stuff. So that's it. That's my weepy thing.
It's beautiful. What a nice way to move into 2017.
Yeah, just some gratefulness. Just a little bit of humble stuff.
Little gratitude.
Right. Little gratitude. Little gratitude.
Yeah.
Mike, what about you? What
do
you
want to put over? Man. So we've had a little holiday break, and you know me, listening to wrestling podcasts every day. I wanted to put over something that I found that I listened to that was incredible, but not because it was good. We all know about the Hart family. Yeah. You know, the Owens and the Bretts and the Natties and the Bruces and the Stews. And all of that, but there's a somewhat known nephew named Teddy Hart.
Oh,
who I first heard about probably around like 2009. I was watching Ring of Honor. And I was like, who is this incredible person doing like these crazy sick 490 splashes in the corner and adding elbows and doing all this crazy stuff? I mean, just in terms of independent moveset brilliance, I think he kind of paved the way for a lot of what we're seeing in a WWE product nowadays. But he's also a known crazy person. And I, you know, I have a psychology degree. I've worked with kids with all sorts of mental health issues, so I'm definitely sensitive to it, but I also definitely know crazy when I hear it.
I'm Mike. I have a degree.
I do. Sorry I wasted all that time and money doing that so I could come here and talk about wrestling with you guys. Helped me out real good. I mean, this is a guy who has... He has trained cats and how to wrestle. You know,
what?
He's taught cats how to wrestle.
I will watch. Where do I watch cat wrestling?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if you look up Teddy Hart cat wrestling, you'll find it. I don't know if you're going to like what you see, but it'll definitely be there.
I think isn't Broken Matt Hardy's next match against three cats?
Yeah, it's actually against three cats who are in the shape of Jeff Hardy.
Oh, spot monkey cats. That's great.
Brother Meow.
But he was on Talk Is Jericho this last week, and man, it was just an amazing occurrence having this man talking to a microphone. He's been a lot of places and done a lot of things, and he has a lot of stories that don't make sense. And I recommend it for listening, but be warned that, you know, if you got triggers about hearing crazy folk talk, then don't hit that button.
Ooh.
Click, click, boom.
Here's a little bit right now.
Stomach yourselves.
Brett caused the business to stay at a certain level until Sean and Brett worked together, and then they elevated it up, where after that you needed to see a guy that was a cross between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, which was where I wanted to be. Jack Evans wanted to be, Ricochet wanted to be, Neville wanted to be, Will Ospreay wanted to be. They wanted to be the most technical guy along the lines of what you do, what Dean Malenko did, what Rey Mysterio did, and then have this other style where they have Shawn Michaels' charisma, they have Shawn Michaels' unpredictability. I never knew what Shawn was going to do. He maybe did the same moves a lot, but I never knew what he was going to do. I always knew what Brett was going to do.
And that was, he didn't take a breath.
That's fascinating. Yeah, yeah, but what an interesting, fascinating, like, look at some stuff.
It turns left hard a couple times.
I was going to say, is the second part of that the part of the cocaine high where he says, let's start a business. I got an idea for a business. Everybody write down their ideas. What we're going to do is come up with the greatest invention you've ever heard of in your entire life. We're all going to make money, and then we're all going to live together in a big house, and maybe it'll be a boat, too. Do you guys like water? I don't like water. I can't swim anyway. But Stu did it. Shawn Michaels did it. Bret Hart did it. Triple H did it.
I mean, he's so 100% brutally honest. He talks about being addicted to GHB and doing a bunch of steroids.
Wow.
I mean, it is a harrowing thing to listen to. Wow. So I want to put that over, I guess.
Sure.
I want to let people know about it.
I think there's something interesting about, without getting into like trauma porn of it, of listening to someone who's been through some stuff and maybe still going through some stuff.
Definitely.
But someone who knows a lot? I don't know. It sounds like
he has a lot of very interesting. He talks about having a fist fight with CM Punk. Like, he basically says he whoops CM Punk's ass.
Wow.
But then, like, 5 minutes later, he's talking about how much great CM Punk did for the business. And all, you know, it's very up and down, very manic. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, I'm going to put over the lighter side of wrestling podcasts.
Aww.
Mike turned me on to something to wrestle with. Bruce Pritchard. And recently they did an end of the year grab bag, basically. They took questions from social media and had him answer them. And anybody who's been listening to that show knows that Bruce Pritchard is quite the impressionist, and he's built a cadre of impressions of his fellow wrestlers and bookers and managers. So Conrad, in what appears to be an ongoing bit, sets up an improv level one situation where all of these characters are ordering lunch together. And I just want to mark this down as the last time I enjoyed Conrad forcing Bruce Pritchard into an impression. So here's that.
And Mr. McMahon, could I get your order as well?
God damn, pal. Turkey, onion, extra onion. God damn. Good call, Corny. Mustard on whole wheat.
And Mr. Patterson?
I don't give a fuck. If you got the Italian sub, put a lot of the oil and the vinegar on it.
And Mr. Savage.
Who's that you were having? Yeah, brother, dig it. Give me what he had. Yeah. All right, then. And a cup of coffee. Yeah.
God damn, that bit used to be over. Motherfucker.
Oh, I love his cornet. I love his cornet.
It's so good.
So much.
I cannot. That is one of the podcasts I look for. Like, I'm sad that there's not a new one. And I have two more days, and I know I'll get to hear it again.
Why do they hate each other so much?
Because that's the root.
Yeah.
It's conflict.
They're going to fall in love season 3.
Okay.
That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. Our hosts are Daniel Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Lublin. Our producer and moral conscience is Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. And remember to review us on iTunes. It's a big help, and we need you to help us grow. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.